just riveting. It's like, this is what it was like when Rome fell, y'all. This is my Roman Empire. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate a spinnerbait. But we love that it's officially the best time of year to read a Sarah Dessen novel.
Yay!
It's summer, baby!
We've made it past
Memorial Day, so it's officially summer. Hi, everyone! Welcome back. It's me, Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, how is the post-Europe depression? Is it hitting you as hard as it's hitting me?
It is. My first week back, I was like, why can't I get on any efficient public transportation? Why can't I walk places? Why am I driving everywhere? Why is everything so ugly? Why aren't there any medieval buildings around me?
I know. Like, cool buildings built in the 1600s that I can just, like, look at. No. Not here. Yeah. Sad. Very. But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for chillaxing while we took our little spring break from the podcast. We will tell you full stories. We'll get you with full stories that probably, I don't know, we're going to laugh about, and I don't know if you're going to find this funny. I did tell my mom some of them. So, Mom, you're going to get kind of a recap again. I feel like you'll be fine with it. She did laugh at some of them when I told her on the phone. So I hope other people, some of them, it's like, you probably ought to be there for. But some of them, hopefully, y'all will find as funny as we did. But yeah, much to discuss then, but we are back. Happy Pride Month. Also, everyone,
yes.
It is June, so happy Pride to everyone. And yeah, we are ready to time travel back to our Lord's year 2013. And yeah. Michael Ann and I already kind of had a moment about that today because we were like, it's like one of those things that I was like, that was yesterday, right? But it's not. It's like 11 years ago. So yes, we are going to be nostalgic today for 2013, I guess, which yes. I know does probably sound a little crazy. But if you happen to not join us on Thursday, which I don't know why you wouldn't, Cliff Notes version, trip was great, concert was great, loved it. Come join us on Thursday to hear the rest. Today, we are talking The Moon and More. We are excited. It's summertime. I can just, like, smell the beach, picking up a Sarah Dessen novel. And yes. I don't even like the beach, but it excites me when it comes to her novels anyways. So, without further ado, let's buckle up. We're in our time machine. Buckles. And we're here. It's 2013. Everyone's wearing skinny jeans, a peplum top, and a statement necklace to go out. We're going out, Tom.
Literally. Peplum
and
everywhere.
We're thriving. Yes. So much peplum. Why did peplum make such a comeback during like the 2012 to like 2014 timeframe? I don't know. But we all did it. Don't lie to yourselves. If you're a millennial woman or just a millennial in general, probably like our Lord's year 2013, you're putting on some peplum.
Yep.
What was going on in pop culture in 2013?
So 2013 was not a big year for TV or movies.
Not great.
Like literally at all. I was like scrolling through the lists. Like, I don't know what any of these movies are. The only one I knew was About Time, which is a time travel
movie
yeah. which I don't fuck with time travel. It frustrates me too much. something about my neurodivergence just gets like angry. So yeah. I did not like that movie, but I love Rachel McAdams. She's a gem.
Oh my God. Seriously. Who doesn't? Donald Gleason, household name, Donald Gleason, not a household name, unfortunately, but in two different theme parks and two different theme park attractions. So you feel like he should be.
There you go.
But he's not. I enjoyed About Time. Not my favorite. I also get a little frustrated with time travel sometimes. The one thing I feel like I am cool with time travel is in Doctor Who, and that's because they're just like kind of explain it away in a sense, and explain things pretty well in most circumstances. But in other things I get annoyed.
Yeah.
But wibbly wobbly timey wimey for some odd reason, I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That makes sense to me. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I've heard many times I need to watch Doctor Who. It's just one of those things that so many people have told me that I'm like,
very good.
Can't do it.
It's sci-fi done right. It's a little bit cheesy. It's a little bit campy, but it has a lot of heart and a lot of, yeah, exactly. Personally, I like my sci-fi to be a little kitsch. A lot of heart and a lot of good, you know, looking in on what it means to be human and human nature and society, obviously, which again is what sci-fi, the best sci-fi should be doing. I actually was watching a lot of Doctor Who in 2013. So there you go. Appropriate.
There you go. Musically, yeah, TV shows also nothing. The one that stood out to me the most was Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah.
And now, because now that's like a mega reality TV thing, which I want to get into so bad, but I'm just like, that's a lot of time I have to dedicate to a TV show.
Oh, also speaking of TV, I forgot to say at the top of the episode, we will be discussing Bridgerton as well this week on Chaos because...
Oh, hell yeah.
You best believe your girlies watched it and want to discuss.
Yep. One hundo. Okay. Now, there was more in the music scene.
Okay.
Unfortunately... This was the year of Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Oh, God, that's right. It is. Oh, terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. It's like this
song of the summer
is.
God, why?
Is about sexual assault. Anyway, so that was a thing for some fucking reason. But now we know that Robin Thicke's father, Alan Thicke, wrote a letter in support of the guy who molested Drake Bell. So, you know.
It all doesn't fall far from the tree, exactly. I guess, you know?
Thrift Shop by Macklemore, of course, was number one.
Off of the song. Mm-hmm. I'll admit it. I like it.
Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, man, that was ever. Everyone was like, have to do the gasp. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Harlem Shake by Bauer. B-A-A-U-E-R.
God, was Harlem Shake time. Oh, man. The memes, the videos, the vines. We were still using Vine at this point. So.
We were using Vine.
The vines.
We had another Macklemore top five, Can't Hold Us. For some reason, I can't picture.
Macklemore was just everywhere.
I can't.
He was having a big year. That he had like definitely had a couple of singles. You know, and it's like. That song. Yeah.
Oh. Jesus.
Can we put our hands up? Yeah, that one. Can't hold on. That was, as someone who goes to a lot of collegiate sporting events, that song to this day, like, plays in football stadiums. It's become one of those. It was, like, not as much, obviously, as it did then, but that was definitely one of those, like, you went to a football game, and it's like, pump up.
It's there.
It's there. You can't escape it.
Good for Macklemore. Get those residuals.
Get those residuals, Macklemore. Proud of you.
We also had, we had a lot of songs in 2013. I mean, I don't know if I was just like, I mean, I was like peak youth at this time. I was 21 years old. I had just started my college program. I was living a new life. And so I was like, at every gay bar in Orlando every week dancing to these songs. But Royals by Lorde.
Yes.
Which...
God, Lorde's first album slaps so hard. So it hard it slaps.
It did. And really fun story about this that I'm just going to tell. I used to work in Cinderella's Royal Table, which is the restaurant inside the castle, inside Magic Kingdom in Disney World. And that year for Halloween, we did a special event. At night, it was a ticketed event where we had all of the, not all of the Disney villains, but like a good chunk of Disney villains. And they did this little dance to Royals from By Lorde.
Fantastic. That's a 10 out of 10.
Yes, I believe.
I respect you for that, Disney. I respect you for that.
I think it was like the villains from Disney princess movies. So it was like Maleficent. Oh my God, what's this lady's name? It's like on the tip of my tongue. Who's the one that's like lady's name? Cinderella's. She was like the main character, obviously.
The like evil stepmother?
Yeah, evil stepmother. She was like
does she have like actual name? I just referred to her as a stepmother, I think.
I don't remember. It, right? But she would come out and she'd be like, I would never see you from here.
I bet there's a recording somewhere on YouTube, and oh, definitely. You best believe I'm looking this up, because yes. Honestly, this is the content that was made for me.
It was so fun. I was like really surprised they only did it 1 year, honestly, but it was really cute. But this was also the year of Red, so we have I Knew You Were Trouble.
Yes.
Pitch Perfect's Cups.
Oh my god, that song, yeah. Everyone was doing it. Everyone was doing the Cups.
This is also Miley Cyrus's Bangers era.
Yeah. There she was out there with the old Blurred Lines himself. Ugh.
Ugh.
So not a fan fave VMA's performance, in my humble opinion.
No.
Miley, you're better than that.
I love that Same Love came out around the same time that I did. So that's fun.
Hey! It was like your little coming out anthem.
It was. And then the woman on it, Mary Lambert, she did like a Jessie's Girl cover. But it was, like, slower and gay, and that was, I was listening to that a lot as well.
Respect.
Okay, so for pop culture moments, Justin Timberlake brought NSYNC on stage at the VMAs for about 3 seconds, which sounds very familiar. We also were hyped up for an NSYNC reunion this year, and we did not get it, which is fine, because I won't give that man a single penny of my money anymore.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Britney Forever. Yeah, so Miley's Bangers era, this is when that VMA performance happened. She was wearing that teddy bear, and everyone was like, oh no, Miley Cyrus. And it's like, oh, she's 21 years old. Like,
what's she gonna do? And now JoJo Siwa was like, I'm the craziest person who's ever been like bubblegum pop and decided to get like freaky. And it's like every single girl, like every single woman in the pop industry basically has done this. But like, go off, I guess.
But better. No offense, JoJo.
But, like, but better. Yeah, no offense, JoJo. But, like, you're not really doing great. Whatever it is that you're doing is not working.
I would also like to give a little shout out. I went to Harris Teeter today. We just opened one down the street from me. And all y'all in the Southeast, Harris Teeter is, like, a luxury trip. They have so many things. Nice time. So they had non-alcoholic.
Is that Original Sin?
Yes, it's Original Sin, non-alcoholic. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sparkling blackberry. Yeah, it's so good.
I like their so we had that at the restaurant that Michael and I worked at after your time, I believe.
Yeah.
And I always really like that. I recommended that one to guests a lot.
It's yummy.
Good to know that they have a non-alcoholic version. That's so fun.
Yeah. It's basically just like sparkling juice, but you know what? It's in the packaging, so it makes me feel...
Yeah, you get the fun, cute little can. I like also have a weird love, like a weird affinity for their cans, because I love that like weird matte texture of it.
Yes.
Like, like it just makes it feel fancy, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I love that. It's got a really nice feel.
Yeah.
I'll post a picture for y'all if you've never had Original Sin.
If you've never had it, you don't know what we're referring to. It's quality content. Get yourself some.
Speaking of a big year for gays, 2013, Orange is the New Black premiered.
Yes, that was. That was a big moment.
That was a big moment for gays. It's great very show. Upsetting that the main character, the woman from Orange is the... I mean, the woman from That 70s Show.
Yes.
Is not only not actually queer in real life, which seems illegal, but also is a Scientologist.
Yeah, that is very upsetting, to be honest.
Yeah, so that's not great. We don't love that. But
that
show slapped for many years until they killed Pusey. And then I was kind of like, I'm out.
I did fall off it. But those first couple seasons were honestly so golden.
So good.
Yeah, they made some choices that I didn't love.
Yeah.
And so I kind of stopped watching. But God, when it premiered.
It just got like, you know, shows like this, they always just get like too... out there. Like, we've just gotten like, obviously a cop accidentally killing a prisoner is not out there. That's not the part that was out there. But it was very fucking sad. That was like a really hard that was one of the hardest TV deaths I think I've ever watched.
That was it was rough.
Oh, they started to have like, they like broke out of the prison. It started to just get a little too like, we're trying too hard. Like, we had such a good idea here. We didn't need to go like this. But anyway.
Yeah.
Beyonce performed at the Super Bowl, and she brought out Destiny's Child.
That was a good one.
And then there was a Super Bowl blackout, I guess.
Yes, that did happen that year. And everyone was like, oh, my God. Bass laid so hard. Power grid went out. It was pretty brief, but I do remember that being like a big pop culture, a big like memeable moment of that year, Super Bowl for sure.
Not only did Beyonce's debut album, was it Beyonce's debut album?
Does that line up? I feel like it had to have been before that, right?
I don't know. It's her self-titled album Beyonce dropped. She didn't do any marketing. She didn't do any notice. It was a surprise drop. So she is the original surprise drop queen. Oh, yeah. Dangerously in Love came out in 2003.
I was like, I feel like it's like way.
Yeah.
Way sooner than that.
Yeah.
But yeah. This was the 2013 was like the self-titled, yeah, Beyonce. Because she had, yeah, Dangerously in Love, B-Day, I Am Sasha Fierce, which I do have very, like, I remember that being like a big deal when that album came out. And then Four, and then dropped Beyonce. And then, of course, the next one would be the infamous Lemonade.
Yes.
It's also kind of crazy to me, considering how long, like, Beyonce's been in the game. I just looked up, she has a total of 8 albums, which, like, I feel like it's more. But I guess probably because she had like some with Destiny's Child, it just seems longer in my head. I don't know.
We're so broken-brained by Taylor Swift too. Like nobody releases music like Taylor Swift.
Like putting out that many albums. Like, it's very true.
She is dropping music left and right.
Mm-hmm. We're very spoiled, very blessed to be Swifties in that regard.
Yes. A couple other things. Breaking Bad's finale premiered, which that had me in a chokehold.
Oh my God, yes. Breaking Bad was everything.
Have I ever told this story on the podcast about my roommate?
I don't think so.
I had a roommate during this time. And she was from New Zealand, I think, or Australia, one of the two.
Okay.
And one day we were sitting around talking about how, like, we should Google each other and see what comes up. Because, like, when you're, like, that age, or around 2013, that was, like, everyone's thing. Like, Google yourself before you apply for jobs. Like, whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
So we were like, oh, let's Google each other. So then my roommate, we'll call her Jennifer. Jennifer was like, please don't Google me. Like, that's so crazy. Like, don't. Like, she just, like, had a really insane reaction. And we were like, okay, like,
now,
we won't.
Now we definitely want to know what we would find if we Googled you.
So when she left, we Googled her. And it turned out that her father was an international meth dealer. And he had... yes. And he had, and I'm sitting at home. I'm sitting at our apartment talking about Breaking Bad nonstop. She randomly stopped talking to me around this time as well. Like, she just... And I'm like, oh my God, it's because of the meth. But anyway, I mean, I hope you're doing well, Jennifer.
I hope she's doing well. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was really crazy.
She was not enjoying the Breaking Bad binge-a-thons in your apartment. She was like, it's too close to home.
Yeah, she was like, please stop talking about Breaking Bad because it's too close to home. So that's my crazy-ass story from that year. This is also the year that Amanda Bynes tweeted that she wanted Drake to murder her vagina.
Yeah, that was a time on the internet.
I love that she did an interview, like, I don't know, a couple years later, a year later, and she was like, no, I genuinely meant it, but I was also on like a ton of drugs.
She's like, but also the drugs. To be clear, I think I was so public about it. The drugs, but you know,
the drugs.
She's like, but I meant it.
Speaking of people that I hope are doing well now, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like she's doing better than she was, but I don't know.
I
hope that she is. I hope people leave her alone. I hope that she lives a happy, full life.
Yes. Yeah. So that was pretty much it. Ben Affleck became Batman. Britney Spears dropped her self-titled Britney Jean. Flappy Bird was really popular.
Flappy Bird.
And that's it.
This is one of those things, like, on one hand, I'm like, oh, yeah, Ben Affleck becoming Batman. That seems, again, like, that's one of those, like, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But then when we talk about, like, Macklemore Thrift Shop, I'm like, yeah, that was forever ago. Like,
yeah.
There's no, like, it's so strange. I'm telling you, this period of time in my life, it's like.
I know.
So far away, yet so close at the same time. I was just going to say before we get into the moon and more that I was going to joke around that, like, this is probably because it's the post-European blues, you know, this big thing you're looking forward to, and then it finally passes, and yes, we will cherish the memories and the Vasa Piglet. That's a little teaser for y'all.
The Vasa Piglet.
We'll cherish always, obviously. Vasa Piglet is iconic. I can't wait to tell y'all about him, but... is it him or her? I don't even know. Iconic. Them. And I'm not even sure them. Yeah. You know what? That so suits the Vasa Piglet.
Yes.
Yeah. They're iconic. So anyways, this past weekend, though, I was like catching up on my sleep, y'all. I was catching up on like doing life things that one needs to do, like laundry and stuff that I just like when I got home from my trip, I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm tired. So I was just catching up on things. And the other thing I did this weekend, which is just one of those like, this is like that millennial feeling when like if someone were to tell me we're going to watch a 4-hour movie, I'd be like, fuck you, we're not. If someone's like, we're going to binge watch 4 episodes of TV, I'd be like, fuck you, we're not, unless like I want to. But it happens. Like, you don't mean to binge watch 4 episodes of TV. Like, you just like start watching it and you get hooked. And then before you know it, you're like, we're on episode 5. But anyways, what I did spend a good chunk of my weekend doing is watching a 4-hour video essay on the fall of the Star Wars Hotel. And oh, I was thinking about
Andrew, absolutely obsessed that with it. Same thing.
Absolutely obsessed with it. Love that YouTuber, by the way, Jenny Nicholson, if no one else knows who we're talking about. But I was like, this is one of those things when I come back to work on Monday and they're like, how was your weekend? How do I explain that to the normies? Because like my, you know, like nerd version ass who like loves theme parks, hyper fixates on things, was like, this is a fun way to spend the weekend. Normal, but to the normies at my job, like they're like, yeah, Bethany's kind of, you know, she likes Taylor Swift and she likes theme parks, but how do you explain that to someone? And so I was just like, good, movie good was good, low key, watched some movies, did some laundry,
just and did some special interests, no,
some special interests, nothing weird at all.
Andrew watched that too, and he was filling me in, but I need to watch it.
It is so, I cannot recommend. I know y'all are like 4 hours, but like it flies by. It's so good. It grips you. It's again, it's one of those things where I was like, this content was made for me specifically.
Yes.
And yeah, if you're a theme park fan, if you like any of this stuff whatsoever, even if you don't, I'm just watching. It's so good.
Yeah, like even if you just are like fascinated by Disney's like downfall, no offense,
yeah,
but we're kind of in that time period.
We're
now
kind of
like
in it. We're in that era.
We are it's really sad, but the Star Wars hotel is like a prime example of like,
yeah, it's kind of like the start of the downfall in a sense, and it's just riveting. It's like, this is what it was like when Rome fell, y'all. This is my Roman Empire.
This is what it was like when Rome fell. If you guys don't know, the Star Wars Hotel was this huge hotel that they built that was like basically a role-playing hotel. So like,
yeah,
you could only get into the park. You could only go to the Star Wars section of the park, I think. And like, you had costumes, yes, and you couldn't have cell phones. And it was like this whole immersive experience. But it was like $2,000 a night.
It was an insane. So she went with her sister and she bought like the lowest room, like the cheapest, smallest room. And it was for two people, because it's one of those situations where a room you could fit up to 5 people, but it was more money. Because again, like, you're not just paying for the room, you're paying for the experience. So the right, 5 people, like if you fit 5 people in your like tiny, tiny ass little room, it would cost more per person, but still overall you're getting a better deal. So like, yes, you're like don't have anywhere to sleep, but you are quote unquote getting a better deal. But just her and her sister went, and it was $6,000
for
the two of them to go for 2 nights, which is asinine. And that's just like baseline stuff. That's not like she added a couple extra things and if you want to buy like souvenirs or whatever. And I just like really want to state to make it clear, like, how, like, I think we all know how asinine amount of that money that is. But, like, we went to Europe, yep, and I did not spend remotely close to
not even close. Not even close to $6,000.
A whole 10-day trip. Like, mm-mm, a whole thing. And not even close to that amount of money. And for 2 days, that's what they spent. So, yeah.
Yeah, I knew some people that worked there, and I remember just like logging onto Facebook one day and then being like, okay, well, I guess I don't have a job. Like, they didn't even tell the cast members they were shutting down. They just shut down.
Yeah, they like just made like a public announcement about it. Like, it's just, the whole thing is crazy.
It's a mess.
You have to watch it. I needed everyone to know, and also to feel my pain of like, how do you explain that to normal people?
It's impossible.
What'd you do this weekend? Nothing. Nothing at all.
In my chill. In my team group meeting this week, my boss was like, okay, tell everybody about Europe. And I was like, no. No.
No.
No, thank you. She was like, what's the craziest? Okay, so she goes, what is the craziest thing that happened on the trip? And the only thing I could think of was this man, before we even boarded our flight, in the Delta lounge, who said to us, try not to get arrested. And we were like,
okay, we, in what world did we get arrested?
And he's like, I don't know.
And then on the last day of our trip heading to the airport, I was like, this is when it happens, because
yes,
we had an expired train pass and they were like, we were gonna be coming around looking at tickets. And I was like, oh no, that man was right. Just kidding, we wouldn't get arrested for that. But like, this is how goody two shoes we were. All of us were like nervous. Like, yes, I had a pit in my stomach because I was like, they're gonna come and they're gonna know. Mind you, I'd spent so much like money on public transportation during that time that I was there. Like, I was doing my part, y'all. But that one last free train ride that I got, like, the last half hour of the time we were there for free, I was like, they're gonna know.
I know. I was like, they're gonna know. And, like, so one thing about, we said we weren't gonna talk about our trip, but let me just explain this. In Denmark, there was, like, no way to, like, you weren't scanning a ticket or anything.
Yeah.
So, like,
right, it's not like New York City where you're like, right, scanning in and out, or like when we were in Stockholm, we were scanning in and out or whatever.
Yeah, it was just like you bought a ticket, and then I guess it's like the honor system. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
basically. But so we hadn't gotten it checked at all. And then, of course, this last train ride when we're going to the airport, our pass expired like literally 15 minutes before we got on that train. And we were, mm-hmm, like, oh my God, they're going to check and we're going to get arrested. How are we going to get home?
And that old man in the Delta lounge that we were like, sir, in what world would we get arrested? We're like, this is where they're going to detain me. They're going to take my passport.
Yeah. He was like, don't get too crazy and party too much. Yeah. And we're like, oh my God, the bus ticket, the train ticket.
we're in so much trouble. There we are, like, all of our luggage. We are ready to, like, basically board a flight and leave the country. And we're like, this is where it all goes sour. The last 20 minutes we're here.
Oh, luckily, it didn't happen. He didn't check our tickets.
Yeah, we're fine.
Until, thankfully, you know,
we made it, clearly. We're back in the good old US of A.
But that was rough. That was questionable.
It was close. It was a wild time.
It was a wild time, y'all. It really was. But yeah, she said that and I was like, I literally could not think of anything that was crazy that happened.
You're like, the craziest thing. I'm like, I don't know.
We're three very like chill gals who are like in bed by 10.
A lady sitting next to us on the train reading about like time travel breathing exercises. That's kind of crazy, but probably not the crazy that people think of when they're like, tell me about what crazy things you got up to in Europe.
There's a woman next to us on the train.
We thought we were going to be like the nuisance Americans, y'all. We're like, oh my God, like this poor sucker who sits next to us, which there's a big story with the train, which we will discuss on Thursday. But to give you a little version of it, one of our favorite running jokes is because of this train. But anyways, so we're like, oh my God, like the three of us, like when this person gets on the train, because we're on like a 4.5 hour train ride, okay? And we're like, they're going to hate sitting next to us. Like, you know, Americans are always known as being loud. And like, we're just laughing at the same two jokes that we've been saying this whole trip. And like, this person's going to be so sick of us. And then, no, we were the normal ones. And she was the little weirdo. Which is so rare for us.
So rare.
But yeah, she was like literally looking into like different breathing techniques and how breathing techniques could like open up like wormholes in time and space, basically. And then her train got canceled because she was getting off a station before us. her train gets canceled, and I put in the group chat, I don't know why she's mad. If she just works on her breathing, she can just time travel herself.
Wormhole herself right to wherever she needs to go. Wormhole
right to there. Oh, what an icon. Hope she's doing well.
I hope she learned how to time travel.
I hope so. And if so, lady, tell me. Okay, we were there when you were researching it. Anyway, the moon and more. Chapter one. Here we go. We've taken you. We're back from 2013, even though we already have been, because we've been talking about other things, but in present day. But we're officially back, and we're ready now to delve into it. This is dedicated to Jay and Sasha. Says for Jay and Sasha in my world, which of course is our queen's husband and daughter.
Yes.
Adorbs.
We love that.
We love a happy family. Chapter one, we jump right on into it. It is the beginning of summer, much like it is as we start this novel. And there is a bit of a Karen rolling up. And she's talking about how she's gonna, you know, kind of turn this car around, essentially. And our main character, we don't officially have a name yet on the first page, but we're about to find out her name. She, of course, being in customer service, is just like, hey, welcome to the beach. She works for Colby Realty, we learn. And she's like, may I? And, of course, like a typical Karen cutting off a customer service person. And it's like, the directions on your website are garbage. It's like, oh, hi. Okay. You're on vacation. I'm the one out here sweating in the sun in this sandbox. But, sure. Be mad at me.
Right.
So she's all like, rah, rah, rah. And so, of course, our main character is like, I'm so sorry to hear that. If you'd like to give me your name, like, I'm gonna get your keys and get you right on the road, get you to your place. So she gets her name and she's like, oh, you're gonna be at the Heron's Call. It's a great property. And again, this has come up before in Colby story set in Colby that, you know, the houses have names, which again is like a real beach house thing. Love that. Just always a nice little touch. And so, you know, she gives her little like little goodie bag, which is a nice little touch.
Yeah.
And she's like, enjoy the beach. So this lady finally like has calmed down a little bit and gives her a little bit of a smile. And so our girl here, she's like, you know, I'm not sure if she was thankful or just felt sorry for me. After all, I was standing in a glorified sandbox in the middle of a parking lot with three cars lined up behind her, most likely full of people in the exact same kind of mood. And it's like, yeah. She says, when the final stop on a trip is paradise, being the second to last is no picnic, which I can imagine. Yeah. Can imagine. Yes. So we kind of learn here. We finally learn her name is Emily, which is a very cute name in my humble opinion.
I do like it.
Her family runs this realty company, which basically rents out beach houses to people. Obviously, summer is their busiest time of year. Her sister, Margot, graduated from East U, and she double majored in hospitality and business. And Mike Land and I worked in Orlando for years, and Mike Land was in the college program, so she knows fresh out of hospitality school grads are the biggest pain in the ass. Yeah. They think that they're really going to reinvent the wheel. Like, we haven't been in the hospital. Like Disney World hasn't been functioning for years without them. They're like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to just be there. And you're like, okay, wait till it breaks you in 2 weeks.
Wait till it breaks you. Not to mention, yes, like, there's so many hospitality grads that start working as managers at theme parks. And you're like, have you ever worked at a theme park before? Have you ever worked in a restaurant before? And they're like, no. Mm. And you're like, okay. Great.
But I just graduated from Rosen College, and yes, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you're like, okay.
Well, like,
I've been here for years, okay? Let me tell you about the asylum where they raised me, okay? Let me tell you. You wouldn't last an hour. And let me tell you, they don't. Because, again, they're like 22, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and this server who's been in it since, like, World War II.
Literally.
Only a slight exaggeration. It's like, uh-huh, yeah, you're going to tell me what to do? Okay, well, that's against the union code. Like, the whole thing. But, yeah, so Margot, 100% accurate. I was like, yes, Sarah, you get it. You have seen this person. You have known this person. And yeah, Margot thinks that she, again, this is their family business. They've been operating for years. And yeah, she's come in and she's like, all right, well, we're going to build a sandbox to welcome people. And we're going to do these VIP packages. And we're just going to absolutely revolutionize this. Which apparently her grandma in the first meeting when she saw the VIP treatment was like, what's VIP? And now she says, to Margo's annoyance, it's stuck, and the rest of us refuse to call it anything else, which I do love. I jumped ahead a little bit, but that part I did really enjoy. So yeah, we get to learn a little bit about the fam here. We learn about Margo, fresh hospitality grad. We learn that Amber is in hair school and is having absolutely, like, none of this. She's just, like, forced into the family biz, and so she'll help make the cheese plates, but damn it, she's not going to do it well, you know? It's her little, like, suck it. We learn that Grandma has a bit of a Rolo addiction, which is to make up for her worst addiction, which was cigarette smoking there for years. She has given that up, and she said that even though they've, like, changed the carpet and the drapes and everything in this office, it, you can still, you know, 6 years later, the smoke smell still kind of lingers. Ugh. Which, gross. She definitely sounds like she was, yeah, smoking like a chimney. Mm-hmm. And then apparently Grandma has a little bit of a motto, which is some people should just not rent beach houses. Which, yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair of her, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Very, very fair of her.
Yes. Yeah, they keep calling it a sandbox. And Margo is like, it is a sandbar, grandmother. I love the idea of her calling her grandma grandmother. That's so, like, grandmother.
Yeah,
I feel like it's very,
yeah, I was like, very posh.
Very posh. Yes, I was like, the first thing that came into my mind, I was like, oh, very Samantha the American Girl doll.
Y'all don't understand the amount of American Girl ads I've been getting on the internet.
Same.
And y'all are gonna hear why on Thursday.
So now she is going to go drop off the VIP, like, cheese platters and wine that they got their VIP people. She has to, of course, fix the cheese platters because Amber just kind of threw them together. She's like, fuck y'all. First, so she goes to, I think everyone's, like, outside. So she just kind of goes in, puts the shit down on the counter. Yeah, third floor kitchen on the speckled granite island. I arranged the platter in a handwritten card, welcoming them to Colby. And then they went to the next house. The door was locked. The guests weren't there. So she, again, just gets it ready, puts it on the table and leaves. But she says, it was always so weird to come into these houses once people were actually staying here, especially if I'd just been in the same morning to check after the cleaners. The entire energy was different, like the difference between something being off and on. And yeah, I totally get that. Like when you go to an Airbnb, yeah, and you, like, first walk into the Airbnb, you're like, ooh. And then it's life.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're, like, living in it and you're like, there's my crap everywhere. And, like, this is, like, it is this weird feeling when you are at an Airbnb or, like, a hotel that, like, for a few days, like, it really is, like, you're like, this is my space, but mm-hmm. it's not. Like, it's not. In a few days, you have to give it back.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, you're like, this is mine. It's like, no. Like, Emmeline has way more right to be in these houses than these people do, but she's like, ooh, like, feels weird because they're in it now. And it's like, yeah, I, like, get that vibe.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Casa Blue, which I thought might have been maybe like a little Luna Blue nod.
Yes, I like that.
Casa Blue, Emmeline does a little slut shaming of these women who were just trying to live their lives in their bikinis.
Yes, Emmeline, gosh. Also, someone's hair is in a messy top knot, which I know we're still like rocking top knots now, but that just like using that expression is so 2013. It's
yes.
Like, yeah, my top knot. Love that.
But they're all kind of like those, they are kind of creepy though, like because they're like, yeah, checking out the pool boy who's like 19.
Major icky.
Yes,
cougar vibes.
Very icky, but they're doing that thing, they're like, oh, he's so hot, he's our gift. Ew. So kind of gross. He is described as a tall, very tan guy with curly blonde hair who is shirtless, wielding a phallic looking pool brush. So she gets back in the car and she just like hangs out there for a minute, and the pool guy comes out and she's like, hey, you can make some big money if your morals are loose enough. And they have this like cute little banter and he's like, oh, I think so. He's like, think so? And she's like, they devour you given the chance. Then he says, not my type, plus I'm already taken. And that's when you find out this is actually her boyfriend that she's had, ooh, since freshman year. His name is Luke. Yes.
I think so. Yes. Our boy Luke.
Which
is the most like small town thing. Like when you don't have a bunch of options, if you find like a good one, yeah, you like date them all through high school.
So he reminds them that reminds her that she has to go to a wedding shower tonight for his sister, which is apparently this is the third of four showers for this wedding, which is a little much.
Is excessive, if I'm being honest.
I got a targeted reel today. This couple like has Disney weddings like every couple years. Like they've been married for 9 years and they've had six Disney weddings. And it's just, it's
Jesus Christ, why?
They just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And I was like,
and people keep coming?
I guess like, so. I mean, I guess so. I would be like, I'm not coming to another one of your fucking weddings.
No.
Like, send me the pics.
You can, do they know that you can go to Disney just to go to Disney? You don't have to, you don't have to spend that much money and throw a wedding? Like,
later,
y'all are just allowed to go on vacation.
Yeah. Later, I might deep dive into the whole thing, but.
Yeah, I need to know more. Yeah. And also, clearly, they, like, come for money. Because how are you affording that? Right. Like,
Disney weddings are insane. They're insane.
Like buying a new dress? Is it like a whole new rigmarole? Like a new dress every time?
Yeah. Wow. Yep. That was another question I had. I was like, is it the same dress every time? Is she redoing different dress every single time? Like one of the comments was like, who's our flower girl going to be this time? I'm like, don't have a fucking wedding party all of
there's
these
a wedding
weddings.
Party
like,
every got no.
I'm like, this is too. Like, I'm all about like live your life and do what makes you happy, but like, don't involve other people in like
other people
you're insane.
Like why do you got to bring other people into your madness? That
and like Disney weddings start at like 5 a.m because they have to happen before the park opens, so
it's not like a good time.
No,
like
it's no,
it's not in a good that is which again like if you're doing it for your once in a lifetime fairy tale opportunity, everyone's like, okay, yeah, like we'll do this wake up at 2 a.m and go see your wedding and whatever. But if you're doing it every 2 years, no, we're not doing that.
No. Yeah, it's pretty weird. Very strange behavior.
I'm going to need you to go down this rabbit hole so you can you can report to me.
I'll report back on Thursday.
Yeah, we need to know.
Okay, yeah, so he's like, 7 o'clock, meet me there. He says, I'll be the one with the shirt on, but I'm ching. We already have some cute little banter between her and Luke. Oh, I mean, I know Luke is, I don't even think he's the main guy, but he's our current guy.
Sorry,
and
Luke, but
I love him. I love him so far.
We love a cute little bands. Yeah.
So then she goes to the last house, which is Sand Dollars at the end of the tip. It's huge. It's one of the newer houses. 8 bedrooms, 10.5 baths, pool, hot tub, private boardwalk, screening room downstairs with real theater seats surround sound. It was so new only a couple weeks ago. There were still contractors here. She talks about how when the contractors were finishing up, they were putting away all the utensils and the dishes the decorator had bought at Park Mart. It was the oddest thing, furnishing a whole house at once. There was no history to anything. All rental houses feel anonymous. But when she comes up to the drive, there's a lot of activity. There's a white van with tinted windows and an SUV parked out front. The van's back door is open. Inside, she could see Rubbermaid bins. She got out of her car and started up the stairs, and she runs into two school people. People she went to school with.
Two school people.
Schoolmates.
I think we should just start calling them people. You know what I mean? Mates implies that they could have been friends. And they are merely acquaintances.
They don't really like people. I mean, like each other, I don't think. They're on the football team, whatever. They're not renting the place. They are just helping the people unload for $100. She's like, what's in the boxes? And they were like, could be drugs or firearms. I don't care as long as I get my money, which I was like, oh, I mean, okay.
Yeah, like that sounds like an 18-year-old boy.
That sounds like an 18-year-old or a billionaire. Yeah, so Rick was the class president. He sucked at it. She goes inside and she sees a guy organizing stuff. he had jeans on. Apparently, it's a brand, Oyster Jeans. I don't know if Sarah made these up or not. I'm assuming.
I believe so, because I Googled it, and, like, when you Google Oyster Jeans, like, a certain, like, fabric showed up, but it doesn't appear to be, like, an actual brand. So this, like, with the signature O on the back pockets, I was like, okay, not real then.
Oyster Jeans. I love that. But, yeah, so he has these trendy jeans on. He has a knit cap on for some reason. It says here, it was like pulling teeth to get Luke or any of his friends to wear anything but shorts, regardless of the temperature. Beach guys just don't do winter wear, even in winter. And that right there is my husband. That is.
True words never spoken. If you were born and raised in the Southeast, you went to high school with guys who, and again, I know it doesn't like get cold in the Southeast, but it does kind of. Okay. And it was just like, we're going to wear flip-flops and cargo shorts, no matter if it's 40 degrees or if it's 95 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sentence, I was like, every guy I went to high school with, 100%.
When we moved to Albany, New York, Andrew did not have any closed-toed shoes. I was like.
That's crazy. That's crazy, but I 100% believe it, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she puts the stuff down, and then a woman comes in. She's got, like, all black on, hair so blonde it was almost white. She's yelling at some guy on the phone. I don't care what time it is. I needed that delivery today. I want my money back, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, fine, I'll expect my deposit to be refunded on my card by tomorrow morning, or you'll be hearing from my attorney. Goodbye. And then she throws her phone across the room, and it crashes into the wall, which is wild behavior.
You're renting this place, ma'am, and this is your, like, first hour there.
Not to mention, like, what do you...
Your phone. Is it broken? Because right. This is 2013 phones. Like, actually, our phones today would break if we threw them against the wall, too. But
right.
They definitely were breaking in 2013.
Right. This wasn't, like, a Nokia from 2002. This is, like, an iPhone, a BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly.
So the lady's like, who are you, basically? And... she explains, like, I'm from the realty place. I'm giving you your shit, whatever. And the lady's, like, pissed about these tables. She's like, honestly, Theo, I'm already wondering if this was a mistake. What was I thinking? Very dramatic, very, like, type A. She said, he's like, we'll find another place to rent tables. And she goes, where? This place is backwoods. There's probably not another one for 100 miles. God, I need a drink. First of all, rude.
Yeah, rude.
Rude.
She's made, in the span of like 2 minutes, has made two, like, the South sucks comments. Because she was like, I knew the minute we crossed the Mason-Dixon line, it would be like working in the third world. Okay, city girl, I'm going to need you to take it back a step, okay?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, honey, you're getting a little too big for your britches here.
A little bit too big. I know you're in, like, a little beach town, but also, like... this novel is set in North Carolina, like a fictional town, North Carolina, but obviously based off of real beach towns in North Carolina. You drive like 2 hours west of that and you're in major cities.
Yeah.
So, like, calm down.
Yeah. It was a little much. Calm down. It was a little much.
A little bit much.
So she's pissed. She's trying to find a corkscrew, and Emmeline just, like, lets her kind of look for it for a little while, even though she knows where it is, like, out of spite, which I love. And then
because she's, like, super bitchy about the wine, too. Cheap and Australian, of course.
Yes. And, like, she's standing right there. Like, you're in...
Does cheap wine come from Australia? Is Australia known for that?
I guess
so. This was news to me.
And then after she gives her the corkscrew, she's like, you should call Everything Island. They're open till 8. She's like, that rental company you're using is, like, notoriously terrible. And then she just left and nobody really said anything or acknowledged her at all.
Yeah.
And that's
chapter one.
That's it.
Off to an interesting start. Pretty juicy so far. We've got to meet our main girl. She's, you know, little small town Colby girl, dating her little small town Colby boyfriend, who all the weirdo ladies were oogling.
Yes, very gross.
Learn a little bit about the family biz. And yeah, some hoity-toity lady has come into town with a man wearing Oyster Jeans. A little bit of a mysterious man. Ooh, could that be going somewhere? I don't know.
Maybe.
And yeah, We'll see. But yeah, definitely a lot of – I like that the chapter starts with a Karen and ends with a Karen. Like, people mm-hmm. that just are like – anyone who works in customer service is the help, and I don't need to treat you like a human being.
Yes.
And I feel that in my bones as someone who has worked in customer service for many years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's accurate. Mm-hmm. Accurate depiction. Yeah. That's chapter one. Join us next Tuesday for chapter two and chapter three, I believe. We're going to try to do – emphasis on try, but we're really going to try to do two chapters a piece for this novel. We think that's how we're going to break this one down. Should be attainable. Chaos, again, we're going to be discussing some Europe shenanigans, Bridgerton. If that's your jam, come join us then. If not, we'll see you next Tuesday for some more of The Moon and More. That's kind of funny to say. More of The Moon and More. And yeah, we're so happy to be back. We miss getting to chat with y'all. And take care of yourselves.
Take care of yourselves.
Happy summer, happy Pride. Let's go.
Bye.
Bye.